Psalm 46. We're at the coming days we'll still be dealing with a hurricane. Not us, maybe so much, except for rain. But it's in Florida now, and these words here seem very appropriate as to what God's attitude for us is in such things. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's pray. Lord, how comforting to us to know the truth about these things. And we're not left to wild conjecture, fear-mongering, and any even wild philosophy that arises from events of the world. We've noted in the weeks prior with the eclipse how ancient civilizations in superstition would sacrifice children or do all kinds of other things that had no impact whatsoever, did not understand, did not comprehend the glories of God in creation. And we, in a higher scientific age, find the same thing, even though we claim to be more enlightened, and we are. But Lord, what a sad display we've seen when these storms come of a lack of glory to you. And I pray, Lord, we would understand that and, in our own mind, correct society's failure in that regard, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago when Hugo came through, I heard a prominent, I wasn't there of course, I was here, but a prominent pastor of a church in this area said God had nothing whatsoever to do with Hurricane Hugo. And I know why that's said. It's said because there's a lot of destruction, there's a lot of sadness, people's houses get damaged by the wind and falling trees and such. But God had nothing whatsoever to do with Hurricane Hugo. Let me make a slight correction to that. And if he were to say it correctly, he would have said this. God had everything to do with Hurricane Hugo. So except for that, I agree with him completely. And we could also extend it to God had everything to do with Hurricane Hugo, Hurricane Harvey, and Hurricane Irma. And the reason we have such blasphemy, I think, of God from the world is that they don't know God. They do not grasp the wonders of the Lord. The Lord to them is just a being that would do exactly what they would do in the same situation. And they figure if God doesn't do what they would do in the same situation, God had nothing whatsoever to do with it. They don't read the Bible to find out. So God can't be doing what is happening because they wouldn't do what was happening. They would send the hurricane out to sea. They would have it blow over and not cause any damage at all. No destruction whatsoever. But it's not just the world, which we would expect to have a wrong view of God. It's also professing Christians. There was a book back in the 70s, I think it was. It was entitled, Your God is Too Small. And that happens when we start to mold God into our image because we're too small. And so the book, I didn't read the book, but saw the title. But the thought is that we can't understand the greatness and vastness of God because we don't want him to be who he is. We don't want him to be sovereign over everything. We don't want him to do anything that we don't understand. And so we have bad theology in times of hurricanes. Why are we having right now? Here's the question the world is asking. Why this chain of two bad hurricanes in a matter of weeks? Why did these hurricanes come now? How are we to interpret that? It almost sounds like we're interpreting dreams. And what does that mean? Well, what does it mean? At the core of what I'm going to say tonight is the biblical teaching that the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork. That is a very basic theological statement of revelation that God has shown every person himself, his power, and his deity by what he has made. That is a clear statement of Scripture. Paul says what can be known of God is manifest to everybody because God has shown it to them in creation. In creation, the hidden God, according to Romans 1, the hidden God is revealed. We know what he's like. He's powerful and he's detailed. And he does wondrous things. We know that because of what we see in nature. And so when we look at nature, if nature declares the glory of God, then we should see the glory of God when we look at nature. Notice today, that is not what is seen. The world looks at nature and sees evolution. They see minute changes and survival of the species, and this one goes and dies, and this one is stronger and lives, and this chance appearance of matter and this chance formation of matter through the ages, and they get all that and they look at creation. And you really have to be incredibly educated these days to be that stupid. Honestly, I think a child can look and see much more than a PhD in a lot of these biological sciences. But increasingly, our world doesn't see God at all. We're living in a very atheistic world in practice. Atheism is most seen practically. Not the majority of people are theoretical atheists. People believe in God. We see atheism most in practice. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the greatest form of atheism. They behave like there's no God. So this is what's happening now. Almost all the news organizations, I've read several articles and on news sites, almost all the news organizations are saying that the hurricanes have given an opportunity to have a discussion on man-made climate change. This is the first go-to thing that they say when a hurricane comes now. Or anything else. Why are there tornadoes? Climate change. What about those hurricanes? Climate change. What about the cyclones? Climate change. It's an awful brisk morning here in December. Yep, that's climate change. The wind's blowing awful hard here in March. Yep, climate change. And you know I'm not exaggerating. Everything. It can be a Category 1, a Category 5, or a Category 800 hurricane. It's climate change. The ice melts. Climate change. You want to test climate change at your house? Take an ice cube out of the freezer. Put it on the counter. Just let it sit there. Come back in an hour. Is it melted? Climate change. The climate change from the freezer to the kitchen. And the issue with climate change is not that the climate changes. Climate's changed four seasons, but that man caused it to happen. So if you look at the ice cube on the counter and you say it melted, but it melted because of the actions of men. Well, it would be true in your case because you took it out of the freezer and put it on the counter. But in the mechanism of the world, climate, the common acceptance, and it's accepted to a degree where it is a religion, it is the world's religion, Mother Earth, is that we have caused changes because of our cars and carbon emissions that are destroying the planet. So everything is climate change. First major hurricane in 12 years was Hurricane Harvey. 12 years. And it was still spinning over Texas, and they were talking about man-made climate change. We need to get serious about that. Let's extrapolate that out. There are people who say right now that if we will get our act together with the climate, we will stop hurricanes. We will stop tornadoes. We'll stop bad weather in the winter. We'll stop all these things because we'll get a grasp on climate change and we'll give over all this power to the government to regulate the carbon emissions. Jennifer Lawrence this week, you may have heard about this. She's an actress. She is not a scholar. I'm sure she's very talented. I don't really follow her career. She said this past week that the hurricanes are Mother Nature's rage against this country for voting for Donald Trump. And we have had many people note that Texas and Florida both are states that went for Trump. And so where did the hurricanes hit? Well, there you go. She really believes this, I think. She is so angry, and there's a thing called Trump derangement syndrome that's going on in the world. And there's such a hatred for the president that she gives Mother Nature a personhood. You know, Mother Nature is not a person. But now Mother Nature's mad at us, and so she's sending hurricanes. A professor in Florida said of Harvey that it was instant karma for Texas because they voted for Trump. And this is just commonplace. ISIS, that wonderful, loving Islamic organization, is crediting the storm to Allah. It's just the same. Allah, Mother Nature, they both don't exist. And so they're just as credible as man-made climate change. I believe the world is wholly surrendered to humanism. There's no fear of God. There's no understanding of what God is doing. We see beautiful polar bears. And they see poor creatures who are being decimated by man-made climate change. They can't even rejoice in a polar bear and how nice a polar bear looks. We may see a great ocean. Look at the ocean. Senator Bill Nelson from Florida sees an ocean that is rising because of greenhouse gases. How can you enjoy the ocean if that's the first thing you think about when you look at it? The waves are coming in. There's a vast horizon out there of water. And we're saying, wow, look at that. What a great creation by God. And Senator Nelson saying, oh, we got to do something about these greenhouse gases. You talk about killjoys. Beautiful baby is in the womb. And we say, wow, we look at that ultrasound picture. What a wondrous thing. And these other people say, well, if the mother wants to, she can just take it out and kill it. Doesn't matter. The governor of Virginia, who is an abortion supporter, is he against abortion now? No, he's for knocking down Confederate monuments. We've gotten all out of whack. A nice warm day? Oh, we're having a nice warm day. No, don't be happy about it. It's a buildup of carbon emissions, making things hotter. And by the way, that's what causes more traffic accidents. Because when it's warmer, people drive more. So you can actually track more driving casualties and fatalities to global warming. Well, of course you can. Because everything is. We've accepted evolution, killing the unborn, homosexuality, transgenderism. Is it any wonder we don't see God anymore in anything? And Psalm 46 gives us exactly the opposite perspective. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The basic truth given in verse 1 is that God is our refuge and strength. Now, clearly that means primarily of our spirits and of our souls in His care. But it also, since that is true, it covers physical things. Not that we can claim the same kind of protection. Our souls are protected forever by God. We'll never fall from the Lord if we're His. Well, nobody will take us out of the Lord's hand. That security we have from God. And we don't have the same kind of promises in this world. We might have a tornado hit our house or a hurricane flood our property. But because the basic truth is true, then everything beyond that is less than, you know, a tragedy. The tragedy would be if we don't know God and then our properties get destroyed. But knowing the Lord, that flavors our understanding of what's going on when a tragedy comes. He's the one we trust for safety. He cares more for our safety than we do. He is alone strong enough to protect us. That's what we refer to in a refuge and a strength. A refuge is like a fort, a place where you can go and be safe, a place in rock where the enemy can't get to you and nothing can touch you. And it's a strong refuge and strength. And it is a very present help in trouble. God is a very present help in trouble. Now, if you were in the hurricane in the Caribbean when it went through there, and you're there now as it comes through Florida, and you think on these things as that hurricane goes through, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. Now that is a supernatural peace. We see that in Philippians chapter 4. But this is a supernatural peace. Because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, because He is a very present help in trouble. Not that we know how He's going to, you know, decide our case right away. We don't know if we're going to escape this or that. But we're going to know that no matter what happens to us in this world, He will help us and work out His will. Therefore, we will not fear. Well, yeah, you say that's fine to say when nothing's happening, but look what it says. We will not fear even though the worst things happen. Though the earth is removed or be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You think that would be a time to fear? Certainly it is. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. What the psalmist here says when he makes his point that God is our refuge and strength is really to say what Paul says in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? And no matter what happens to us in the refuge that God has provided for us, we're safe in Him. God is the first place we run. We set our mind on Him. We trust Him even as we take action to get to safety ourselves. We're still depending upon the Lord. The threat itself is a call to run to God. So all the warnings that came out that we heard that government officials have to put out to protect the public, that evacuate here or evacuate to this place and provide this shelter and to give us information about the storms. That's all well and good. But the declaration from God is to trust in Him. This is a hurricane comes along, it's supposed to put the fear of God into people. People are supposed to look out there and go, whoa, I need to seek God. That's what they're supposed to say. And I wonder how many do. Even in the fiercest conditions, hurricanes, earthquakes and water upheavals of some kind are mentioned here. Mainly, it looks like an earthquake. I've only been in a tremor earthquake in my life. But I understand if you're in an earthquake, you got floodwaters, they're over there, and you might be able to run over there and get out of the way. But when it's an earthquake, there's nowhere to go. It's a whole ground everywhere shaking. And this is a very severe earthquake described in the text here, where the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea. And even then, we're to be thinking about the Lord. Again, it doesn't mean we don't do things and try to get out of the way. But it places our trust in God and recognize that He's doing something. He's sending things, and not just that they're happening or that Mother Nature is upset. I don't believe that. I think a lot of Hollywood would say a whole lot of things much more wise. I know they would if they had an understanding of proper theology and biblical truth. And when you don't have that, you've got a vacuum. We might say they were vacuous. They've got an empty brain as when it comes to the knowledge of God. So they don't understand the things that are happening in the world. So even though the worst happens, God is our refuge. In verse 4, it speaks of a peace in God. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. That is where believers live. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God. And we abide there in our spirits. We're living by faith now. One day these will be made physically a reality to us. But in the place where God is, there's a nice, calm river that makes glad the city of God. It just flows by. You can get the picture of it. You see a similar thing in Revelation at the end there in 22. This river is a joyous place. It is a peaceful place. It is a place of the tabernacle, which means it's where God lives. And God is in the midst of her, verse 5. She shall not be moved. And if she shall not be moved, we shall not be moved. And if God will help her, then God will help us. Even from the very earliest of the morning. The nations, in contrast, are raging, and the kingdoms were moved. Our nations are pictured as those who are fretful, not peaceful. They are all upset. And when they rage, it says, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. All of that which I've just read in verses 1 through 6, and I can include verse 7, which is also the same as verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It speaks of a quiet heart, a peaceful spirit, and an understanding that we are safe in the arms of God. That we are not going to be destroyed by any storm, even though we may be dislocated and all sorts of other things. That our help is from the Lord. And we can have that even with the world raging around us. Now verse 8 gets into, I think, what we miss in this world. We miss the other part too, but come, behold the works of the Lord. Oh yeah, we love those works of the Lord, that majestic mountain, that waterfall. But notice it doesn't just say that. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. Our God makes desolations in the earth. The Lord is a God who does more than just these peaceful things that we see. And when the psalmist here says to behold the works of the Lord, he means all of them. Those that we agree with and those that we find as desolations. Now, there's an interesting parallel. Look, if you look at Job chapter 1, about the origin of these desolations. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. I guess that goes without saying, but I've said it anyway. A lot that goes on behind the scenes of this world that we just do not have any idea about. And this was the fact with Job, because this was a meeting in heaven before the Lord, and the devil was given permission to hurt Job, but not to take his life, take his things, take his children. And the devil went out after petitioning the Lord for that, and the Lord said, okay, go ahead and do that. And in verse 18, one thing that the devil did, and the report came back to Job, verse 18, chapter 1, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young men, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. There was a strong wind that was engendered by the devil in this case, because the Lord had given the devil the power and the right to attack Job. But that was still under the authority of God. The devil couldn't do anything unless the Lord said he could do it. The devil had to come and ask permission. And the Lord worked out his plan, and one of the outworkings of God's plan was that he took his children. And this happens. The fact that God is our refuge and strength does not mean bad things will not happen to us. But it means that they're from God. And these are things back in Psalm 46. These are things we're supposed to behold. Come, behold the works of the Lord. You know what the Lord's doing right now? He's blowing a hurricane through Florida. You know how that hurricane got started? I don't know if the devil had anything to do with it at all. All we know from Scripture, that little particular place that Job got some permission to run a big wind, that hurricane formed off the coast of Africa. You know who formed that hurricane? The Lord God. And it is a powerful force. And you look at it from the satellite view, oh, it's an awesome thing. And I don't know if I'd want that job of flying in the middle of those things to see what it's all about. It's a powerful storm. It's bringing heartache. It's bringing desolations. What does the psalmist say? Behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. And that should be the very first go-to thing we think about when a desolation occurs. Not like the preacher here in Orangeburg who said God had nothing to do with that hurricane. That's the first thing you do. That's the first thing you say, is that God is doing a wondrous work. God is doing a work of desolation. Can any human say that we're not worthy of that? Of course not. We're not worthy of any of the mercies of God, and God is working out His plan, and often it is beyond our capacity to understand. I would say usually that's the case. But they're universally the work of God, whether directed by the devil in that one case that I just noted, or just in the world, the floods that come, the tornadoes, the excessive rainfall. Who are we to say does these things? Who are we to, as Christians, how are we to interpret that the things in this world that occur? Are we to say, well, God's not doing that. That's too much rain. God wouldn't send too much rain. You know, like during the flood, right? When God said, build an ark, Noah. Because someday something might happen. It's not going to be from me now. But it might rain a lot and you might need to float out of this place. No, God did all that. It's a desolation. It's not something we would do because we're not the Lord. We don't know what we're doing. I keep fussing at the weather. I'm sure Cindy's done with that, hearing me say it. I'm talking to these weather people all the time. They're standing in the water down in Florida telling nobody to get out in the water. Nobody come out down here. And I told her this morning, it wouldn't surprise me if they're all in cahoots, they're all looting every house down there, and they're just saying to everybody else, get out of town so we can. And I don't believe that. But I mean, just they keep telling us, get out of town. Don't anybody come out here where I'm standing. The very first thing that we look at, it shouldn't be this hurricane, it should be God. Because it says right here, come behold the works of the Lord. It's an eclipse, and we say, oh, that's a wondrous thing. We know that's from God. But then a storm comes. That's also from the Lord. A hurricane, a tornado, a volcano, an earthquake. And what are we to do? When we behold the works of the Lord, we're to worship. We're to see that and we're to approve of it as the mighty power of God. Now, doesn't mean we like the devastation. Doesn't mean we wish that on anybody. This is God doing something which God has chosen to do. And we're to worship and believe and wonder and be in awe. And this planet's never going to be without natural desolations. They're from God. And God has made the world this way. And they surely didn't start in the age of cars. You can go back in history and times in the past, there have been storms of great magnitude throughout human history, and there will always be that. You get rid of all the cars, and they're still going to come. And you're still going to have people saying, well, we've got to do more to stop this. You can't stop it. Now, go lasso a tornado. Try that first. The Lord even brings these desolations. Desolations means, the Hebrew word means what is horrible or frightful. Look at Amos. We don't go to Amos that often. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Chapter 3. Amos 3, verse 6. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? How did this calamity come? Well, that's the devil. The devil's running havoc in this world, and God's letting him loose. Well, it could be that, but it's not because God's, you know, letting him loose. It's because God is using him for that purpose. But it doesn't have to be the devil. The Lord does these things on His own. It always traces back to His throne. When God is sovereign, we really mean that. You can't just be comfortable with what those good sovereign things, those good warm fuzzy feelings you get of sovereignty. Because in verse 9, back in our text, Psalm 46, it says the Lord brings peace, too. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. All those are implements of war, and God stops all that. And so, the works of the Lord are something, instead of all this blaming mankind and looking at men, and you know, if you're a climate change, man-made climate change denier, which I am, you're ostracized. People are upset over this thing. I mean, you can't, you got to be upset if you're going to go on and you're in an interview like Jennifer Lawrence was and actually say these things out loud. You got to be mad, and you've got to be just, your life is taken by this thing. And there are people whose lives are taken by this. It's an attempt at socialism, is what it is. And it's not scientific. If it was scientific, they'd be talking about those 12 years we didn't have a major hurricane. They would talk about what they were doing was making the difference. You never hear that. Because it's not a scientific thing. It's a political thing. It's a power grab thing. And verse 10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, sometimes all you can do is stand with your mouth open and wonder. Be still and know that I am God. You know what God's about? We're about exalting ourselves. God's about exalting himself. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know what God is doing right now? He's exalting himself in the earth. He is showing himself to be mighty in the nations. It is another revelation that God is a powerful God and must be worshipped. And to be still and to contemplate and to come to the right conclusion that the Lord is God, that is the go-to answer to these disasters. Not that we got too many cars on the road and we're not supporting the Kyoto Treaty and reducing carbon emissions and greenhouse gases. If I got up every day worrying about carbon emissions and greenhouse gases, I mean, I'd start watching professional wrestling. I might as well. I mean, the whole world has gone downhill then. Get up and look at the beauty of the Lord, the awesome majesty of God, and even the desolations he's caused in the earth. The great casualty of climate change dogma is that people aren't supposed to look at God anymore. They're supposed to look at man. And the Pope is all in with that too. I mean, just about everybody. It's a brilliant plan by the enemy to keep you from looking at God. And it's really working. But in our case, we have to make it not work. Because we still have Psalm 46 in our Bible, and it says, "Behold the works of the Lord, and to be still and know that he is God." And knowing that they're his works is the bedrock of peace and wisdom. And it'll never be otherwise, no matter what happens. Verse 11, verse 7 say the same thing. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. My mom ever took me to get a shot, she stayed with me. She took me to get the shot because she thought I needed it. I was upset with her. She drove me there to get that shot. Even told the doctor I needed the shot because she kept that little blue book of all my vaccinations. Yep, he's due this shot with the big needle, the thick needle, the savage needle, and he needs to have that punched in him really hard. And she was there to hold me when I cried after. Our God is always with us and always for us. But the tragedy of our times is when the Lord does his works in the world, nobody attributes them to God anymore. They attribute them to carbon emissions. And we're to behold the works of the Lord, not carbon emissions. Let's all stand. Jerry, would you dismiss us?